Fourscore and hundreds of years ago, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast was born. The Medicare podcast with growing pains. And now crapped out once again, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Drew McMillan. Hello, little Nora. Yeah, you're probably not listening. Drew McMillan is our announcer who opens every episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And that's what you're listening to right now. It's based on my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. I am Doug Jones. I'm your Medicare expert for today. And probably for most of the rest of the month. I signed on for a lengthy stay, and I'm hoping that you don't get sick of me before my duties have been executed. Actually, I don't think they're ever going to be executed, because coming behind you people interested in Medicare because you're approaching the enrollment age are cohorts of other people slightly younger than you, but they're coming along. And the average, Randy loves statistics, and he has never lost his fascination with the fact that on the average, during the course of our time in the Medicare space, I hate that term, but there are 10,000 on the average, 10,000 people a day turning age 65, which means that there are 10,000 people a day on the average getting interested in Medicare. A lot of people don't enter Medicare until they've worked way past age 65, and they might be up to age 70 or older than that before they consider what they have to do for Medicare selections. But some people go on Medicare right away at age 65. And as I said, the total number of people on the average either approaching the enrollment age or at least becoming interested because they know they're going to have to start thinking about it is roughly 10,000 a day. So we get our share of responses and mailbag items and people buying my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. The 2021 edition is on sale at Amazon, and it's also at Barnes & Noble. If you want the $9 version with the color illustrations, go to Barnes & Noble. If you want the $8 version with the black and white illustrations, buy it at Amazon. And you can also get the ebook there, the Kindle version at Amazon. And someday, God willing, and the creek don't rise, or even if the creek rises, someday there's going to be an audio book just as soon as Amazon approves it. It's under audio review right now, where it has been for 2.5 months. I don't know how long it takes them to listen to 1 hour and 15 minutes of Medicare expounding on my part. But frankly, they don't seem to be in a rush to put that thing on sale. So hang on to your money, because it's coming your way. We just don't know when. When I say we, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Randy Carson, the official Medicare for the Lazy Man dial twister and tech engineer. Hi, Randy.
Doug, as you were going through that intro part, it occurred to me that I know what they're listening for on your audiobook.
Oh boy. Nasty poo-poo words?
Paul is dead.
Oh yeah, okay.
Paul is dead.
So they're going to play it backwards to see if I'm sending secret subliminal messages.
Yes, you can only hear that on the backwards side. But I have some actual questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Medicare questions, believe it or not. In our last episode, you were it was an interesting episode because you were talking about statistics, and I love statistics.
I've noticed.
You made one mention of a statistic that said that of the total people on some sort of Medicare / plans, you know, something beyond A and B, 33% work on Medicare Advantage plans.
Not only that, it's heading towards 50. They're predicting that by the end of the 2020s, it'll be approaching 50% of those eligible for Medicare enrolled in Medicare Advantage plans.
That is shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we need to work harder.
Okay. What we need to do is to do better promotion, because as you know, in whatever chapter of my book, there is a list of 10 reasons why I think Medicare supplement plans are superior for most people to Medicare Advantage plans. So let's look at it backwards. Let's turn it inside out and consider who is not in our target market, because I say right up front in the book, this book is not for everybody. It is for people who are generally healthy, not completely, sick, constantly in danger of losing your life with your disease that you might have, because those people have a whole bunch of help and input from professionals that taxpayers pay for. So we are writing our advice. I'm writing my book for people who are generally healthy and anticipate no big downturn in their health. And then the other thing is people who are not destitute, because those people also have resources available to them, but your average Joe doesn't. Your average person who is hoping to get into Medicare doesn't know what the best choice is that will cause them to be satisfied. They are often plagued by and lured by the come-on ads for Medicare Advantage plans. And the more money those people spend on advertising, the higher their percentage of market penetration is going to be. The Medicare supplement plans do not spend nearly as much promoting themselves. And so we have to do it for them. Like you said, we should do more work, Randy. And I think you've got the right idea. I just don't know how to do it.
The calls are coming in right now to the offices of Medicare for the Lazy Man. So I have a question.
It's wonderful to see the
technology. Okay. Is just killing us today. And if it wasn't for that, we'd have a landscaper. So 1/3 of all the public that can possibly need some sort of Medicare A, B, and plus whatever is on a is on an Advantage plan. But in last episode, right, for those of you who listen regularly, we talked about a fellow that did some research. Well, someone else did the research. This fellow just documented it in an article that there are certain supplement plans, but Advantage plans that can cause you to die quicker because of, who knows, like the receptionist I was telling you about. Yeah, this is Joe Doak's Medicare Advantage plan customer service. Hold on just a moment. No.
And lengthy silence.
I don't get it. Why can people? Okay. And then the no premium supplement, not supplement, but Advantage plans. That just makes no sense.
Yeah, but a lot of people are looking to save money. And if they come to me, I can say, look, let's avoid the Advantage plans. I can give you a Medicare supplement that will help you save money at the same time as giving you complete freedom of choice to see any doctor in the United States or go to any hospital that you want for treatment. You have complete freedom of choice. You go to a Medicare Advantage plan, you're locked into their list of docs and hospitals. You don't have freedom of choice. A lot of people don't have that explained to them. They're confused when they go in, and so they are easily lured by the Medicare Advantage plans, who say we are almost free of charge and we'll give you all these extra doodads and gewgaws like dental. Well, they don't tell you that maybe the dental is very limited coverage. It might be just a discount plan, and it also could be limited to a very small number of dentists who may or may not be convenient for you to use. You may have to change your dentist that you've been going to for a long time. A lot of people don't want to do that. So it's just that the Medicare Advantage plans that you and I understand are not right for a lot of people. They snag a greater share of the audience because of audience ignorance. It sounds like I'm calling the audience ignorant, but I'm saying that they don't know they're not told effectively the story of freedom of choice that Medicare Advantage or Medicare supplement plans can provide for them.
So let me ask you this. I know there's one no straight pat answer, but give me a guess. Pick out, you know, your favorite supplement plan. Let's say a high G, high deductible G.
Right.
That's going to be less than $100 a month for most people. Yeah.
I have a company that's fantastic that will provide that coverage, that protection for in the neighborhood of $30 to $35 a month in some states for age 65 year olds.
It's a dinner, people. Go out and buy yourself a couple pieces of steak and a drink. You spent your $35.
Now, we're going after healthy people, and they might say, why do I want to spend anything? Because I'm healthy. I'm never going to need to spend a bunch of money, at least not in the foreseeable future. So why wouldn't they sign up for a free or close to free Medicare Advantage plan? Well, here's the reason why. Because if you go on a Medicare Advantage plan and something happens to you, you have a heart attack, you get some beriberi or, you know, some kind of disease that's going to cause a lot of medical treatment to be required, you can never have the opportunity again to get a Medicare supplement. Once you've given up your rights to a Medicare supplement in almost all states, you can never, ever, you have to prove good health in order to be able to have a Medicare supplement. And if your health is not going to allow you to prove to the company that you are a good risk, then you're never going to have the opportunity to get a Medicare supplement. So once you've lost it, you can never get it back in many cases. So that would be something people don't think about. Why would they take one plan that they can get anytime they want? Medicare Advantage plans don't do any medical underwriting. So once a year, anybody can sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan. Once you give up your Medicare supplement that you have, it could be gone forever, depending on your state of health.
So then let's put this in a little bit different metaphorical light. Let's go back and talk about that $35 dinner. Okay, so if you buy yourself a high G in some state, some county, let's just say it's $35 a month. So you spend your $35, but let's say you decided not to do that and you went with some other plan, like an Advantage plan, and you gave up your opportunity for a supplemental plan. That $35 dinner that you had stocked away, now granted, it's gonna raise in price, you know, over the course of time, because they all do. But let's just say, metaphorically speaking, you gave up your right to have that supplement and then you went with something else. Bottom line is, you could have been taken care of, whereas in the Advantage world, Medicare Advantage plans, now you get to go to, there's only one restaurant in your state that sells that particular dinner. And oh, by the way, they didn't approve it because it's a specialty dinner. So you're going to have to start begging, calling customer service, going, why can't I have my specialty dinner?
And if you don't like their answer, then you get out your big paper stack of paper and brochures and stuff from the plan, because they send you all this stuff. They basically go out and kill trees like nobody's business. And you have to go through the five-step appeals process to beg them to change their answer for you. So if you want a key lime pie for dessert and they tell you, no, we don't think that's appropriate for you, then you really want that key lime pie, you're going to have to go through a five-stage process, and you may still get turned down for the key lime pie. And then we just, in our last episode, heard about plans that have higher mortality than average. So we don't even know if they're making the right decisions that are going to prolong the lives of their participants. And the only reason we know that those plans have some effect on their lifespan is when they shake them all up. They, put people in different plans, and those people tend to either live longer or live shorter. So there appears to be an effect on your lifespan, depending on which Medicare Advantage plan you wind up in. The Medicare supplement plan does not subject you to the limitations that could cause you to have bad mortality. It gives you complete freedom of choice to go to any medical provider that you think is going to do a good job. And then if you screw up and go to like Bob's Screen Door and,
medical, and Advantage plan.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's on you. But if you're stuck in an Advantage plan where you've got a short list of providers and you don't get permission to go to see specialists when you want to, then that's the plan's fault. And if your life is shortened because of it, then it should be on the plan.
Okay, one more, you know, metaphorical comparison. I just can't get around, I can't get my head around the fact that people get fooled, sucked in, hornswoggled, whatever you want to call it, into Advantage plans. I mean, back in the Midwest where I was from, mm-hmm. if you get what you pay for. So if you're paying for a so-called Medicare Advantage plan that's costing you nothing, right. guess how much you get out of it?
Oh, yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
So this is just like going to a restaurant and you get in there and you sit down in the booth and you're looking through the menu and you go, gee, I'd really like to have that. I'd really like to have that New York strip. And then the waiter comes up and says, no, you can't have any New York strip. Get out of here. You're going to have to appeal to get that New York strip.
Here's the way they work. The waiter is given a bunch of money by the government. And so then the waiter comes to you and says, what would you like to eat? And you might say a New York strip. And the waiter would say, the government's not giving me enough money for you to have a New York strip.
That's even better yet.
Or we can buy it. We can butcher a cow and we can cut a New York strip out of that cow and give it to you, but we don't have enough money to cook it. So frankly, a lot of it depends on the government, and I don't think the government should be involved to that extent. However, they did do one thing which I like. They overhead the government cost of having Medicare Advantage plans exist in the world is limited to the amount of money they give to the plans. Whereas with the regular Medicare, which we have to buy supplements for to fill in because they have big holes in the protection, for regular Medicare, they have a lot of overhead because they've created an insurance company with 1 million employees, and those 1 million employees have pensions, and they have maternity leave and all kinds of other costs. And none of that happens for the government with a Medicare Advantage plan. The government just writes a check to the plan, and the plan absorbs all of those costs. Because it's private industry, they do it so much more efficiently than the government does. So this is what should have happened from the time in the 1960s when Medicare was first invented. The government should have just written a check for the additional cost of old people's insurance and let it go at that. But no, they had to create an insurance company with a giant overhead that's costing tons of money. And we that are covered by that plan now have to sit and hope every year, keeping our fingers crossed, that the government doesn't decide to gut the program, reduce the protection.
So for those of you back in the Midwest where I'm from or anywhere else in the United States, as far as that goes, the moral to this story is that when you go to the car dealer and say, I'd like to get that Chrysler Imperial over there. And they go, hey, I've got that. And there's absolutely no payment attached to it. What do you think you're going to get?
A pig in a poke. Or
yes.
Or perhaps you get a payment on the back end. In other words, they say, yeah, drive this home, enjoy it. But if it breaks, whoa, watch out.
Yeah, you don't want to be around when it breaks.
Because it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So that's one
way to look at it. You know something? We are about out of time, Doug.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard the crickets yet. Are the crickets ignoring us or what?
They will be here in 1 minute and 17 seconds.
Oh, boy. You know, I hate to have an episode go by without at least some discussion of a mailbag item or two.
Would you like me to let me scoot them off for a little bit?
Why don't you squelch the crickets? I've got a fairly short one here. Let me see.
Okay, I just stepped on the crickets.
All right, okay. I'm going to do one mailbag item, and then we'll get out of here. this is from a person named Liz, I believe. Oh, yes, I know this woman. She is actually, her husband is a valued client of mine, but it took a lot of correspondence, a lot of back and forth before that happened. So she wrote to me last December. I won't take up much of your time, but I have a quick question. A week or two, we received the husband's prescription drug card. And I rejoiced upon receiving it because I thought I was well and truly done with the Medicare enrollment process. These are, in case I didn't make it clear, they are my clients. They have purchased their Medicare supplement and their Medicare prescription drug plan from me. So anyway, this woman got the card for the drug plan and she was all happy because she assumed that she was through having to think about Medicare. And then a few days ago, I received a letter from the Department of Health and Human Services stating that he will have to pay a late enrollment penalty every month since he didn't sign up for a prescription drug plan when he turned 65 back in 2015. Since he kept his employer's health insurance rather than enroll in Medicare at age 65, I figured that he should not have to pay the penalty. I had him contact Human Resources, and sure enough, his coverage was creditable. They provided a letter stating this fact. The notice from the government had a form to fill out and mail in, or the option of calling them to provide this information. I made two attempts to call them. This is what happens when you deal with the government. I made two attempts to call them, sat on hold, listening to the worst music ever for about 45 minutes each time, and never got to talk to a person. My question for you is, should I keep trying to get in touch on the phone, or should I just mail them the form and the letter from Mike's company and hope that settles the matter? I would much rather talk to a person and be told that everything is okay rather than just sending something out in the mail and hoping for the best. The phone number is available 24/7, but I don't know what would be the best time to call. I tried calling around dinner time during the week and mid-afternoon Saturday, and neither of those times worked for me. What would you do? Thanks for your help. And I said, hi there. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. I would do both things. If one failed to correct things, the other one might succeed. Mail copies of the two letters, their notice and the company's letter, but be sure to hang on to the originals. Then you can telephone them and wait on hold, enjoying the taxpayer-provided music until you either get completely sick of it or actually talk to somebody. How does that sound? And she wrote back and said, thanks for the great advice. Some night when I'm having trouble sleeping, which is most nights, unfortunately, I will try calling them at 2 o'clock a.m. If I still wind up waiting on hold forever, then I will know that they don't have nearly enough staff on hand to handle these things. As always, thanks for your help. And I said, even if you aren't on the phone, that mail will be heading towards someone's desk, maybe someone who will fix this for you. Let me know what happens. Well, my recollection of what happened is that I had to call the number that she was having no success with. And I got a person answering the phone right away. So I quickly dashed off a message to this woman. And I said, hey, I just got through instantly. Maybe something good happened on their phone system. So you try it. And she did try it. And an hour later, I got heard back from her. And she said, I got through to somebody. They solved my problem. Everything is hunky-dory. Well, now, why does it take a telephone tree to be able to talk to a government functionary? Well, one reason is that we don't want to pay the taxes that allow them to staff up, you know, just so that they're sitting around waiting for somebody to call. It's just expensive to have that many people. So they're riding the tightrope between having a lot of people waiting around to provide excellent customer service and having one guy, one disgruntled employee praying the phone doesn't ring because it's almost time to go home and he's looking at his watch. So there's a fine line in there somewhere where there's the best of both worlds, but I don't know what that is. It turns out that private health insurance companies are closer to knowing what that is, and the service you get from them is going to be a lot more satisfactory than the typical service you get from a government functionary. So I hope that didn't put the crickets back to sleep, Randy.
No, I don't think so, but I think now would be a good time to start putting the landing gear down and heading into the final approach at the airport.
I'm going to leave that in your capable hands. I'm going to see the quality of your operation of this machine. I'm going to spend my time extinguishing my smoking materials.
Yes.
I'm going to not alter, amend, or destroy the smoke detectors in the bathrooms.
And right. Don't do that.
And I'm not going to open the overhead bins because items there may have shifted. I'm going to put my tray table, I'm going to lock it in its upright position.
Yes.
And I don't know what else should I, you know.
What? You need to stow your other materials underneath the seat in front of you.
Oh, there you go. That's right. That's right.
And if we happen to be coming into the airport over water, just remember that the seat of your chair can be ripped out and used as a flotation device.
Well, that should be enough to keep everybody's mind occupied until we're safely on the ground.
Yes.
That's our goal here, is to have everybody walk away happy and glad they came and come back for more another time.
This always reminds me of this is not my joke, so I can't take credit for this joke, but there's one comedian that I hope I can tell this joke correctly, but it said, I'll tell you what, let me leave that as a hanging chad for next time, because
Randy's going to tell us a joke next time, ladies and gentlemen.
This joke, it will just crack you up, and I want to get it right.
All right. Well, that's good, because if you oversell it and it bombs, then it reflects badly on me.
And, I'd rather. Well, Doug told me to do this.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today. We're looking forward to having you again. Join us next episode.
You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes in between rapid phone calls to the offices of Medicare for the Lazy Man. And we are getting ready to land, so I would look forward to seeing you again next week. Come back and see us. Go to Amazon, buy your books, get as many as you would like. They're not on sale this week like they have been in the past, but they're still there, so grab a couple. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.